Okay, welcome to the January 2nd, 2020 Happy New Year meeting of the PNFD, SDAC, AID, ANI schema modeling discussion. Jacqueline and I are currently the ones on the call, and hopefully others will join. Otherwise, proceed with where we are so far. So I think it's a good idea. Let's kind of recap where we are and take a look and see where we are. Basically, I think that's a good place to begin. So we broke the page down into a number of kind of major topics that we're looking at. And maybe, actually, let me see. So our major topics are geolocation, and I was just thinking maybe we should reorder them a little bit. The place object, the PNFD mapping, and that we have other topics, including the PNFD mapping and service, the 5G service discussion model, which I've been working on for as a actual use case in the 5G set of use cases. And let me take out the audio for, I had it uploaded to today's audio. Okay. And this was the complex object. I think this might be Kevin's discussion slides. Or, oh no, this is the slides I have up. Okay. So these slides you started, and the ones that we sort of have been originally working from before we kicked off these meetings, these set of meetings. So I'm thinking maybe the geolocation, we've done a lot of work on the geolocation. We can kind of move it down, I think, to certainly not our sort of first topic. Place maybe is kind of what we are, so maybe place and... I mean, they're sort of related, I guess. I guess they're sort of related. So that's where we are. Whoa. Okay, let me see if I can move. Whoops. Let me see if I can move this up. Did that work? Yeah, okay. The 5G stuff we can keep at the bottom. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, and the PNFD instance ANA model mapping. And these are kind of related, aren't they? All right. Okay. So, sorry. So the first topic A1A and 1B were this development of the place object, which we kind of need Kevin here, I guess, to help move it forward. He had started a set of slides to discuss the development of the place object and using input from various standards. I think we're sort of all discussing that as a group, but he may still be on vacation maybe or something. So did we want to add anything to this right now? Is there any way we can move forward with this? I think the geolocation stuff, we're in good shape, right? There's nothing else we need to do there.
No, I think we've got, what we've got is pretty detailed.
Right. So the place object was driven from the GB922 standard, which has a pretty detailed view of what the place object should be. And I don't know how much of that will be adopted, but I suspect he'll, Kevin and all of us will, helping him, will probably use some of that as a basis at least. And then, of course, I think the main thing is, suppose we develop that place object fully, it looks somewhat, there's some overlap between the complex object, which is in the addendum at the bottom of this page. And tying that, because it's an existing thing, tying that to the place object and making associations, I think that'll be a big next step. So the geolocation stuff, I think actually, this actually we can copy up to here, I think probably. Okay. Let's see it end up here. So in August, we started looking at, I had contacted Tin, who is one of the people working in standards in IKEA. And he said we could incorporate the stuff once we have a better understanding of what it is. And we got the GP92 standard. And then the complex object we have here. And I had contacted the ANI team, the ANI team about how to use the complex and just understand it better and who owns it and stuff. And then we investigated the RFC 622. Okay, so the second topic was the PNFD mapping with SL001. You had asked about the language, which we checked on, and I got in status on that. So a couple of people said there's no plan to do stuff like SDC, and Ophir and Ite said there's no plan to do stuff with that. And other people like Portal, the Portal Project, and UI, Tau, and Manoop had said they're already supported. Melanie?
I guess the whole multi-language thing is, in a sense, a bigger problem. I mean, we've sort of seen that this could be a problem just in terms of, you know, knowing that addresses can come in different languages, and that then you don't really have much choice but to write in the language that it comes in. But it's really a higher level problem where, I mean, if we're saying, for example, that SDC doesn't plan to support anything multi-language, does that mean, you know, how do we just assume that everything is possible to view in, you know, the Latin alphabet, or is it just that they haven't tested it, or, you know, it's a more general problem, but I don't really know how we would lift that. It's not a use case. It's like, what do we assume in ONEP as a whole, whenever you have some sort of either user interface, or what you got there, you know, display or storage, you know, what do we assume in these cases in terms of language possibilities? I mean, that's not got anything really to do with location. It's just we found it looking at this, I think.
Yes, that's a very good point. Like, you know, what if it's Arabic, Chinese, or whatever, that you're trying to store characters that aren't Latin alphabet characters? And how would that be stored? How would that be displayed? That's a really good question. And but
I just don't know where to land it. That's
sure.
Like I say, it's not a use case. It's more of a... it's a question if we have that sort of requirement or not, I guess.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, you and I are very English-centric or English-speaking-centric or whatever, that Latin character-centric. So it's I'm not familiar with all of the ONAP people and companies and service providers, but I can imagine that there are some that, you know, all service providers are often world, you know, international. So even things like Orange and Vodafone and so forth have customers in Saudi Arabia or the, you know, the Middle East and stuff. And do they just adapt to Latin displays? And that's a good question. I'm not sure.
I mean, our Chinese colleagues, how are they? What do they do?
Yeah, I think they're, so having been to China a number of times and watched people work on laptops and stuff, I think they have many of their programs do have Chinese language adaptations. And there are also, there's a lot of English text as, or, you know, Latin character text as well, because a lot of things I think are sort of identities of things that can use Latin characters. But when you come to something like an address, that's a little bit more tied to a specific thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you'd have to do some, you know, some mapping to the Latin alphabet. And I don't, it's
so I'm familiar with Chinese, at least I can answer that. So because I'm I speak Mandarin Chinese. So I do know that there's something called pinging, which is basically there's a mechanism by which you can alphabet, you know, can romanize the based on the sounds of something. So there's a mechanism to do that. And that's, in the worst case, is something that can be done, right? So people know how to kind of translate the things into Latin, you know, characters. And there is a way to translate all of those names and places and stuff. And there's many different languages in the Orient, of course. And Mandarin Chinese uses four tones, Cantonese uses eight tones, and actually English, you know, also has tones too. We just don't think about it because not everything has tones, right? So like there's a long, you know, E, and there's a short E, and a schwa E, and there's lots of different sort of E's, and we give them different names, but those are essentially tones on our vowels, right? Yeah. There's long O's and short O's and so forth. Those are also similar to tones, except that in Chinese, like every syllable has a tone, even consonants. So that's a little different. And that's the thing that's a little hard to capture, but they've done it. You know, they have a way to do that. So like, for example, release 7, Guilin, I had to look up which tones were, you know, how to say it, pronounce it properly, right? Because this and Gui and Lin have four different ways of saying it, right? So, and they can mean different things. So like, for example, Ganqing, which is piano, if you say that in the wrong tones, it can mean sex machine. So,
Okay, that's important.
So, you know, there are different tones that are quite important, depending on how you say stuff. But you know, like Arabic too, they probably have a, anyway, it's something we need to pursue probably. It's probably not super high priority. Probably more important is just to develop this place thing, and then maybe simultaneously we can ask. This is beyond you or I. We probably need to engage other larger service providers, because we're vendors, right? We need to ask the service providers who are like AT&T is pretty USA centric. Maybe Orange or somebody who's a little bit more international.
Absolutely. I mean. So I agree. We definitely would have to ask on that side, but do we have a, I mean, I'm sort of reluctant to take this sort of to, let's say, each component separately, because this would have to be sort of a system-wide thing. But is that the architecture subcommittee then? I mean, who do we who would own the problem?
Probably just three main forums, right? It's either the TSC, the Architecture Use Case Subcommittee, and we can get some guidance from them, or they can open the floor to a larger audience to see what we should do. Because this affects more than just modeling. It affects like big projects like VID and SDC and timescales of when they need that stuff delivered. Because a lot of stuff in ONAP is driven from eComp as well. It's obviously very, you know, English-centric. I think maybe we should try to bring this to either the architecture subcommittee or TSC at first and see what they think, and get an opinion. And maybe they can help us determine a timeline of when we should start thinking about this or when we need this.
It might be that it's a known problem, and or that everybody's adapted, or to be honest, I mean, ONAP is a platform, and if the service providers basically say that, well, when they import things into ONAP, from ONAP into their own systems, that they do the extra language support. I mean, then that's, you know, it's fair enough.
I think that if it was super important, the sooner we act on it, the better, because because of course, as things get coded in ONAP, it can be very hard to change. So for aligning SL001 and ANEI, I think that analysis that you started with all those fields here, the complex object, and fields that were still not mapped properly, or that didn't have mappings, I should say, which I've highlighted in red here. So for the city, division, borough, city, district, ward, chu, neighborhood, block, and down to the desk, cubicle, workstation stuff. We've talked about this with Andy and Kevin before, I think the resolution was, they said, let's tackle that as we develop the place and the place object and the evolution of the complex object. So maybe this is kind of a little bit on hold, and just keep this in mind. There were 12 fields that didn't have nice mappings into the complex object and ANA field. So, and they are more deeper resolution type fields, right? Like things like a seat and cubicle and workstation. So maybe let's hold off on that until we start working on the place object.
Okay,
so let's see, plug and play. So all this comes to a head basically, and this is why this page is off the plug and play page. So I'm gonna add today's meeting basically today. So this page will be linked off of the plug and play page, because eventually the VES event from the PNF plug and play registration needs to send this information, of which right now it's not doing anything, right? So eventually, if we want stuff to be sent in the PNF registration VES event coming up from the PNF, we need to get changes into the VES event document on Viola Gupta. So that's an action item way on down the road, but eventually address and geolocation info into the PNF registration event. People have already asked me about it, actually, and I said it's not happening in R6. There's still an analysis happening, but I put it off this page. I've linked our meetings off this page because eventually, if we want that to happen, the sooner the better, right? Because this is definitely a long lead sort of thing that isn't fast. So it takes a whole release really to kind of review and incorporate and scrutinize new VES event stuff. And then of course, lots of teams have to get involved in coding and stuff. So,
And I guess we're still sort of back to that. It's an improvement of the plug and play, but it's one of the sort of things that I'm sure there's going to be a lot of debate about it. As you say, yeah, I mean, people have sure. asked about it, and I'm sure a lot of people want that. And then there'll right. be other people who will say, you know, why do we even need this? So,
yes. I mean, we can do all the analysis we want, and we can spend a year just getting all the I's dotted and T's crossed, and we'll come up with, you know, 10, we want these 10 new fields added. And people will still question why. or are they going to be really used? When will they be used? Nobody's using it. How will they be used? All these questions of relevance and who's using it and who needs it are going to get asked of us. So we just need to be prepared, I think, to answer that. And I mean, they're good questions, things like, well, who's really need, you know, who really needs this right now? And maybe nobody. I mean, you know, and people will ask, well, people have already asked, when is this needed and who's going to use it and when will they need it? You've already asked me those questions. So, and I mean, clearly right now we don't really have any actual, I think, you know, live deployments of ONAP with the live PNF. So it's clearly not immediately needed in our six. But you know what, by the time you actually do need it, it's kind of too late, right? You have to think ahead a little bit. Will we need it in R7? Will we have a live deployment in R8? You know, and if you're going to have a live deployment in R7, you should probably already start doing it now if you're going to have a live deployment in R8. So you have to anticipate when it's actually going to get used, I think. That's important. but anyway, that's what this point is about. So the PNFD mapping. What was this exactly? This is the... this maybe?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I think we discussed this, that the PNFD from a vendor perspective probably wouldn't have anything in this geographical location, but if this is sort of the other track where it's a PNFD coming from an OSS system, that this could be filled in, and then we have to translate that geographical location info into something that ends up in AI. I mean, it's that whole chain of events where it sort of goes from the PNFD. Yeah. And again, that's sort of the case that we as vendors haven't really looked at, because it's, our PNFD that we onboard or that we provide rather, would never have that. I mean, we can't in our PNFDs say where a particular PNF is going to be. So it's sort of limited use for us. So it goes back to that, I guess the service providers have to chip in there as well. And I think this was something that was promoted on the Etsy side.
Are you talking specifically place location stuff, or this first section here? We're doing this.
Well, we were doing the sort of the general exercise before. If we're talking about location, then it's specifically that geographical location.
Yeah, info.
And then we've
yeah.
got the more general.
This is the more general point, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
PNFD, so this
is your Excel sheet. Yes. Okay. Right. This is everything. Right. Yeah, and I don't know where we got to on that, I think.
Yeah, notably, what do we need to do, and what, this is analysis you did, I think, and I did something similar during the, when I was leading the plug and play use case, because of course for plug and play to work, we had to ask ourselves what fields are necessary and what do we need and so forth, and what do you have to onboard. So this is looking at, these are the PNFD descriptor fields, right?
So that's
from SL001.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's the Tosca definitions, right? Okay, so this is, okay.
And this is the SDAC, once it gets into SDC, so this is the next step, once it's onboarded in SDC, what's in SDC, right?
And the problem here was that there wasn't an awful lot that was copied over, I think.
Right, and there's not a clear mapping from this stuff to this stuff, basically. So then maybe a question is what, there's three steps, right? So there's the PNFD that gets onboarded and that gets somehow, some things get mapped or some things get dropped into by the time it comes to SDC and they have a model. And then ANAI has its own schema as well, which ideally all three of those things should be in alignment, right? So you shouldn't be dropping information from one place to the other, right? So
is this, if this is the general problem, then I guess
that's what this point is about. I think this topic for three.
Okay, so this is still sort of the improvement of the ingestion of the onboarded PNFD in some way, so that
and I mean, is that, I mean, what do you think? Is that something that we need to do? Is that a big topic number three?
I guess it depends a little bit. I don't know what's actually happening with the AID. Is at one point there were discussions about, you know, migrating away from this and using something, you know, the other SDC data model that looked a little bit more like the SCNV one. I haven't heard anything about that since then. So I don't know if that's just sort of a dead discussion. In a sense, how much do we want to add into this data model just to be able to carry things forward? I guess it's still sort of, you know, what are the needs on the other end, right? On the AI side, I guess, or on the SO side or whatever component is actually using this stuff.
I mean, somehow it all kind of works at the moment, but I think the thing though is that as we start to actually think about loading real PNFs into the system, what's missing? I think that's the key question, right? So we have a lot of simulated PNFs and we know we can load simulated and run, you know, sort of ONAP can recognize simulated PNFs. And I think as we come to load a real PNF, as the vendor provides actual real packages from a real PNF, so what's missing? And I think in my mind, this is kind of anticipating, well, you're missing this or you're missing that. And we can look to the standards like ETSI or SL001 or, you know, the IFA standards and stuff, and we can see they suggest this, that, and the other. But having looked at those myself and talking to Tin, those are also really broad as well. If you look at their diagrams and stuff with models of connection points, they're quite broad. They don't get much into any specific thing beyond saying this box is kind of connected to that box through this connector point thing, which is, you know, here already. That's why I think the next thing is also important too, at least for wireless service providers, that the next step is, you know, here's what are suggested in the actual wireless standards, the 3GPP standards 28.540 and TS28.541. Which says these are the set of parameters that we suggest all vendors and service providers use when you're trying to work with 5G. And so I think those are probably things we want to think about incorporating into a wireless specific domain model in ONAP. And I say that because, of course, ONAP is intended to work with everything in the universe, but you know, a lot of our users, I think, are wireless users. So if we had to split things up, you know, probably 20-30% are other non-wireless stuff, and most of it, just observing it, looks like most of the vendors and service providers that are working with ONAP are wireless service providers, and optical being another big one, and some of the fixed network stuff. So I guess the question is what do we need to do here for topic 3? What do you think we should do as a next step? What's missing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little torn on this because on the one hand, it's sort of, you know, it's that engineer in me that says, you know, we put all this stuff into the PNF descriptor and then it goes nowhere.
Yeah, right.
And it feels like a bit of a waste. Sure. On the other hand, I mean, it is sort of, I mean, the question is how much of this that we really sort of in a useful way want to carry over, because I mean, there's certain things. I mean, what have we really got here? We've got, you know, identifiers and strings of various sorts, and we've got the connection points. We've got the security parameters, which I don't know. Oh, this is the IFA. Maybe it's easier if we look at the SOL, because if I remember, the security is implemented in some other way in the mm-hmm. actual.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, so here you sort of, you know, and there it's the connection points are represented as virtual links instead. But I mean, there isn't an awful lot here. I sort of, you know, so the question is, I guess, for the geographical location, I mean, that's its own question. But then the other big question would be whether, you know, the links, I mean, I would guess that's used somewhere in the system, but I don't actually know. I don't know if that's actually, I mean, it must be used somewhere in the service definition.
The links, what do you mean links?
Well, in the,
oh, the virtual links.
Yeah, the virtual links.
Yeah,
the virtual links. I mean,
those are modeled. So the links, as I understand, are modeled off of the SCC desktop. So basically, when you create if you use the SCC GUI, basically when you drag over a NF, XNF, there's a little plus that's on the upper right corner of that XNF, and then as you can drag that from that plus, you can drag sort of a line to, you know, to another XNF to start modeling your network. And that, once you sort of hit the go button, the SDC is able to model all those connection points based on the designers designing of their design time stuff.
but this virtual link thing here, this is the requirements for the virtual link. So that's not defining the link in itself, which is more related to the service and how you connect the PNFs and VNFs, mm-hmm. but it's more related to the requirements side of things. I'm just...
That the PNF can support this kind of link, right? Or this set of links.
Yeah. I mean, again, I assume it's used. I assume that if somebody would tell me how it's used, I would say, oh, yes, of course, that's obvious. But
because for a while I was attending the SDC calls, and mm-hmm. I was trying to describe what we need to model in SDC and how we, you know, I was doing something similar, right? When I was doing the PNF stuff, how we want to evolve the what's in SDC and how we take it to the next level. So a similar sort of thing. And that's where they sort of told me that this is kind of supported, but in a different way. So let me see if we can find those discussions. Here. So I had led a number of meetings where we're basically taking a look at the models that are in SDC, where they start creating a service, and also what's, if you look, this is kind of what you're looking at too, what's in the PNF descriptor, and then what is in the SDC model, the you know, the AID model, which is exactly what you have here, right? And then we're looking at where the model needs to evolve. So these red things were discussions, and red and white things were discussions that I had with the SDC team, where, and this is, I think, maybe the one point you're talking about, this PNF external connection points, and in particular. So it looked like these things are my things that was kind of where we left off in when I had started, you know, had been attending regular SDC calls, and we're specifically talking about this. These were things that we might need to add.
Okay, so there might be a general discussion to take with SDC about this particular modeling and where we want to go with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So,
would there be anything in CDS that would kind of
Hey, somebody joined. Hey.
Yeah, this is Bob Papa.
Oh, hi.
Is there anything in CDS that would maybe correlate to like this field here? You know, I'm thinking because CDS has been doing a lot of, you know, modeling, and, you know, I don't know if type comes out as a something in their GUI.
So I'm not sure, actually.
I mean, it would be nice that across all those platforms, it'd be kind of a standard, you know, type that everyone could refer to.
Yeah.
Hmm. Just a thought. I mean, I know that in January here, some of my, you know, modeling meetings on Monday, you know, we're probably going to be talking more about CDS and getting to understand that a little bit better too.
Right. So we have a set of so we have a set of attributes, and there's not a lot. I can probably just type them all in. So if we look here in topic three, so we have PNF at CNFV, NFV, SOL 001, excuse me, from, we have descriptor ID, function on description, provider version, name, geographical location, info, and virtual link. And, you know, somehow those get essentially mapped to this SDC model. Here with similar sorts of fields like invariant, UID, UID, customization, version, type, name.
Is there anything that in the PNFD that would like describe like the licensing type too? You know, that, I mean, not the specific licensing, but you know, the type of it, whether it's a, you know, open source or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would expect, so there's there's a whole licensing management use case that is underway in R6. So I would expect them to also, as they uncover new fields that need to be added, there's a whole similar set of questions. Mm-hmm. Does the VESVET registration event, geez, why do I have a frog stuck in my throat? So there's a VESVET PNF registration event that needs to be updated as well. If you need new fields there, the modeling team would need to update stuff. And there's probably a similar sort of stuff that gets onboarded mapped to the SDCID, and maybe new things in, maybe not ANAI, but in the runtime config DB stuff may also be impacted as well. Okay, let's see. So we probably, when we know better, we probably need to go to the SDC team, right, and ask to see if either engage them or ask to see, or maybe CDS, as Bob is suggesting, to see what new fields we might need to add there as well. And is the stuff we have in the PNF etsy 0001, is that sufficient for what we need, and are there new fields that we may need to add as well? Okay, and then the last major topic is this analysis that I started with, the 3GPP TS 28.541. which I don't have up yet. Here. So basically there's a bunch of parameters basically that the standards suggests that all 5G PNF support. And this is specifically 3GPP 28.540 and 541 are the 5G, the 5G model, NRM, NRM model, the network resource model. And so I contacted the rapporteur for that document, and I asked, if you look at the document itself, it's not easy to analyze for what we would like to analyze it for, like understanding. He had a quick at a glance, here's all the fields and here's all the parameters and stuff. So I asked, is there a spreadsheet for that? And she said, no. So I created a spreadsheet and I started looking through all the objects, but I found the actual parameters that were a little bit more useful. So I focused on the parameters stuff and copied in all of the information from the document. So this basically summarizes the Word document sort of at a glance. And the things in column A, the attributes, are the things that we might want to actually incorporate into the ONAP models. But of course, the ONAP is meant to be cross-technology and across many technology domains. So we probably wouldn't want to introduce these things, first of all, they wouldn't be in ANI because they're not ANI things, or most of these things aren't ANI things. These would be introduced in the probably the runtime config DB, and they're operational runtime type parameters, which we would probably want, I'm guessing, in its own sort of separate model. So I've presented this to the 5G team, and I should as a next step probably present it to the modeling subcommittee. I think I did briefly actually do that, but should open up a discussion for that as well, and to see how it's modeled. We had, so in one of these meetings, we've actually talked about this topic before. So indirectly, I presented to the modeling subcommittee, where I think basically one next step is to think about a domain-specific model, which in this case would be a wireless 5G model, and these parameters would be incorporated, or would be a part of that model. And I think that model would have basically most or all of these parameters, incorporated in it. So I think I guess one question I had was that if you look at one of the models in the platform, this thing here, for example, are these all this platform model is meant to be used by actual components in the software, but they're not necessarily are they shared across all the platforms, or they're stored internally in different components? I guess the question is how are they incorporated into ONAP? Like, their ANI has its own schema, but that's not all of these models. These are just models that are used by all of ONAP. Are they shared by all of ONAP? Do you know? Do either of you know?
No, I don't.
Okay, so maybe, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so maybe we should ask. Maybe we should ask Kevin or Andy to see how. Really, the question comes down to, we have a set of parameters that need modeling into some model, into perhaps its own separate domain specific kind of model that domains like wireless. Things working with wireless would want to use, and I think we need to have that as a discussion as well. And that's that's why it's this fourth big topic here.
Was that Kevin's root model? That his whole proposal on the the root class and everything. I think what he was, if that's the case, it was like he was looking for something in the root class that would be used across everyone.
Yeah. Right. So yeah. So he does have this root class thing here.
So maybe that's what, and then anything that needed to add, so that you didn't have all that duplicate in, other classes, so that it would filter down and.
Right.
Be used across, and it would actually be common across all of them.
Yeah, and so, in any case, if we look at this, there's probably about 100-ish. Let me see. There's roughly 100-ish parameters here, right? 80, 90, so 90 parameters, and we still have yet to do the exercise of, well, does ONAP really need to know about all those? 90 parameters, right? Because ONAP's function is more of a sort of a high-level management system. It may not, a lot of these things it probably doesn't need to know about. but then you can ask, well, there are standards, and if you think about all of ONAP, especially when you come to DCAE and policy, and you're starting to create algorithmic policy-type information, maybe it does need to know about. Just because it's in the standard, people may expect, well, this is something in the standard. And if we take a look at one of the bigger use cases that have actually successfully demoed ONAP, the PCI use case, they actually use things like, cell IDs and PCI, things that if you were only thinking about ANI and SDC and stuff, you may think, well, who needs to know about that? So it probably doesn't hurt to add to add all these parameters, but I'm sure somebody's going to ask who's using it. So the counter answer might be though that by the time you need it, it's too late, and we can point to use cases that have used things like PCI cell numbers and stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think just a management system might need to know about, but it's more the analytic system, the analytic aspect of ONAP that might care. But anyway, so I think I'm pretty close to done with this. The only thing I need to, I think, really do is, there was one thing that somebody suggested, I think the last time was whether something should be in ANEI, but that's actually a pretty narrow set of things, I think. The only real things I think that might be in ANEI are really just the addresses. And there are already lots of addresses in ANEI. And because a lot of this isn't really inventory type information. ANEI doesn't care about cells. I think there was some other, there's a couple other addresses as well. And maybe the states, the X.731 states.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually. I guess AI already has some sort of monitoring of the states, doesn't it?
Yeah. It certainly needs to know if something is gone, like out of the network, gone. But, yeah. You know, I would think if you're, because these states also indicate disabled and enabled, that would be very interesting for ANA to know, well, it still physically exists, but it's not available for service. I would think that would be, that's something that seems like ANA might keep track of.
Yeah, I think it does.
I'm guessing.
I know they have like functional fields at different, you know, at PNF they, and operation. There's an operational status too, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. So that's.
I would sort of. I mean, I don't know if AI is super interested in. Well, of course, you want to know the initial state. So AI would have to populate that with the initial state, and then even if operational state changes come in as you know, fault events, I mean, you'd still need at least that initial check of what is operational when the PNF connects and what is not, I guess.
See, that's where it'd be nice to have a data dictionary that of, you know, that you could have the valid entries for what an operational state is. I don't know if that's something Runtime DB could have or something, but, you know, that... You know, you have a standard then of, you know, whether it's enabled or disabled and make sure that it's, you know, the right, you know.
That's a good point. And actually, I think those are kind of standards driven. The X.731, I think, sort of defines particular states, like allowed values, idle and active, enabled, disabled. And there's a bunch of operational state, administrative states. Oh, yeah, luck, shining down, unlock, and so forth.
You're saying they have that defined in there for that?
These are defined from this ITUT's X.731 standard. So it defines specific values for these particular states. I don't know if ONAP wants to use different ones outside of that, but those are the ones that ONAP suggests to be used.
Good start.
Yeah, certainly. Okay. So just reading through these two or three times, I think those are the only ones, maybe the ID, possibly the ID. Yeah, maybe the IDs are possibly things. We probably need to have a conversation with, we probably err on the side of caution and say any name or ID, maybe something ANI cares about. I'll ask. Gina CCP function PLMN ID. okay. Network slice indicator ID is probably not crucial. JSON. So okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's it. AMF set ID. Maybe this one. All right. Well, we're kind of at time. And I got to run to my next meeting also. So, okay. Well, thanks for meeting, and we'll hopefully have Kevin at the next meeting. And next meeting again is the first Thursday of February. So, okay, great. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day. Okay. Then.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.